First is 1 and 2. We read, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that a warfare is accomplished, and that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand a double for all her sins. And in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, we read, I charge thee therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. On these passages and many others is based the instruction of our catechism in the first Lord's Day. What is thy only comfort in life and death? And that I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood hath fully satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from all the power of the devil, and so preserves me that without the will of my heavenly Father, and not a hair can fall from my head, yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation. And therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. How many things are necessary for thee to know, that thou, enjoying this comfort, mayest live and die happily? 3. The first, how great my sins and miseries are. The second, how I may be delivered from all my sins and miseries. The third, how I shall express my gratitude to God for such deliverance. The text, beloved, I quoted from 2 Timothy, chapter 4, and the first two verses, contains a very serious charge to Timothy by Paul. The charge, namely, that he must preach the word. The word of God. That he must preach that word in all its fullness, and all that it contains, and that he must preach that word under all circumstances and with application to the whole Church of God. I charge thee therefore, the apostle says, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. In season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and so on. And one of the reasons why the apostle is so serious in this particular charge is that the time will come when the people shall choose their own teachers. Teachers after their own liking. The time will come that the people shall not endure sound doctrine, but shall walk away and from the truth. That is involved in the next verse, beloved. They shall turn away their ears from the truth. All the more reason why this charge to Timothy is a very serious charge. He must preach the full counsel of God. And he must preach that full counsel because the congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ must go in the knowledge and grace of God. Beloved, we now again start to preach from the Heidelberg Catechism from the beginning. Our fathers certainly understood the seriousness of the charge of the Apostle Paul to Timothy. Our fathers certainly understood the necessity of the whole congregation, old and young, to be instructed in the knowledge of the truth. That is evident from the fact, beloved, that they always emphasized the necessity of instruction in catechism. And it is also evident from the fact that at the time they charged the Reformed churches to preach the word of God according to the line that is given in the Heidelberg Catechism, at least once a Sabbath. That's what we do too. And as we begin again, from the first Lord's Day, beloved, I hope that you and I will not get tired of the sound doctrine that is explained in the Heidelberg Catechism. You will not have itching ears, but that you may receive the instruction of the Word of God as it is comprehended in the Heidelberg Catechism in your heart. This introductory Lord's Day speaks, as you easily understand, of an all-comprehensive comfort. A comfort in life and in death. A comfort for soul and body. And to that all comprehensive comfort, I'd like to call your attention in this morning hour. First of all, asking for the context or the meaning of that all-comprehensive comfort. Secondly, to ask and answer the question, how is that all-comprehensive comfort obtained? How do we receive it? And in the third place, the fruit of that all-comprehensive comfort in our lives. An all-comprehensive comfort. The meaning, how obtained, and what is the fruit. And the Honorable Catechism, beloved, speaks, as I said, in this first Lord's Day, of comfort. And the question might be asked, first of all, what is comfort? And in the second place, what is an all-comprehensive comfort? And how is such an all-comprehensive comfort possible? It is very evident that the Catechism characterizes the whole contents of our faith. The whole contents, in fact, of our religion as a comfort in this first Lord's Day of the Catechism. That very evident. And in general, beloved, comfort is the knowledge and assurance of a great good over against a great evil. And that is evidently the idea of comfort in general. I'm not speaking now of the comfort of which the Catechism speaks, but just in general. And therefore, comfort, I say once more, is the assurance and the knowledge of the possession of a great good over against a great evil. And yet, beloved, The Christian comfort is more than that. The Christian comfort is not only the knowledge of a great good over against the great evil, but it is the knowledge of a great good that eliminates the evil. That's the Christian comfort. Parents may lose a child, and when after a while they bring forth another child, and they may probably say, now we are comforted because of the loss we had a couple of years ago. That is comfort, all right, but you understand that such a comfort does not do away with, does not eliminate the evil which the parents experienced when their child was taken away from them. And therefore, I say in the second place, beloved, that the Christian comfort is distinguished from all other comfort in this, that the good of which the Christian is assured eliminates completely the evil. But even that is not sufficient, beloved. Even that is not the complete contents of the Christian comfort. We must say more, as also the Heidelberg Catechism suggest, and we may define the Christian comfort, beloved, which, by the way, is a comfort in life and in death, and a comfort for body and soul. We may say that that Christian comfort is the assurance of the possession of a good that in the first place eliminates the evil, but in the second place in such a way that the evil must serve the good. That is really true Christian comfort. The evil of which the Christian is conscious must serve the good which must be reached and which is, in general, eternal life. That, therefore, I would define as the true Christian comfort. And therefore, we must first of all ask the question, what is the evil which the Heidelberg Catechism, or the Christian of the Heidelberg Catechism has in mind? What is the evil over against which we have a great good? By the way, in between parentheses, I may call your attention to the fact that the Heidelberg Catechism does not speak in general, but speaks to the church. That's right. Not of men in general, but of the church, of the believer, of the elect. And secondly, and that is very important, beloved, the Heidelberg Catechism speaks of the personal experience of the Christian. Already in the first Lord's Day, but really throughout. The Heidelberg Catechism says, what is thy only comfort in life and in death? And the answer is that I belong in life and death, with body and soul, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Personal. And that is intentional. And it also means, beloved, that you and I must take that personal attitude in regard to the teaching of the Heidelberg Catechism. While I'm preaching, you must ask yourself the question, is that for me? Not only is that good for the church, but is that good for me? Is that that comfort too for me? I ask that question and answer it. Do I belong as a catechist master? Body and soul in life and death to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ. Ask yourself that question. And in the answer to the question, you are to grow in the knowledge and grace of that comfort and of Jesus Christ our Savior. Well, I said the next question is, what then is that evil? And the answer of the catechism is, I think, threefold. First of all, and that is the principal evil, first of all, the evil of sin. And all that it implies. The evil that we refer to, or that the catechism refers to, is not really the evil of suffering and pain and affliction and sorrow and grief. That is not the evil. That is evil, all right, and that belongs to the evil, but it is not principally the evil. The evil is sin. So that before you and I can say, I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, you must be able to say, I am a sinner. That's all. That must be your first confession. I am a sinner. And to be a sinner, beloved, includes, first of all, the reality of guilt. So that when I want to have the only comfort in life and in death of which the Heidelberg Catechism speaks, I must be able to say, and not only in general that I'm a sinner, but I'm guilty, guilty, guilty before God. That's first. And the second place, I am corrupt. Wholly corrupt. By nature. And there's no good in me. And because I am wholly corrupt, I become before God more guilty every day and every moment of my life. That's the evil, the first part of the evil. But when I say and confess, I am a sinner, and I am guilty before God, and I'm corrupt before God. And because of that corruption, I increase my sin and guilt every day. I also confess, beloved, I am damnable. All belongs to it. The grave. I'm damnable before God. Worthy of everlasting condemnation. You must be able to say that, beloved. And if you are a child of God, and if you principally have the only comfort in life and death, you will say it in order to grow in the assurance and in the knowledge of that only comfort in life and in death. But there's more. All belongs to it. And the principle of it all is undoubtedly sin and guilt. But in the second place, there is the world. With my sinful mind and sinful will, in body and soul corrupt and damnable before God, I stand in the midst of a world that is just like me. The world also lies in sin. The world also lies in corruption. And the world is full of the effects of it. In all kinds of suffering. And in all kinds of death. The world belongs to that evil that stands over against the good. And that must be removed. And that must lead to a higher eternal glory and light. The world. The world lies in death and corruption, beloved. Just like you and me. And the third agent, according to the catechism, is the devil. The devil. The devil is the prince of this world. Still is, in many respects. Even though Christ has come and Christ has overcome the world of the devil, nevertheless, the devil still goes about like a roaring lion, beloved. And through his millions and millions upon fellow evil angels, it causes the Christian to be miserable. That the evil triumvirate, I would say, triumvirate. Sin, the world, and the devil and his angels. I lie, therefore, by nature, beloved, in the midst of sin and death and the world and the devil. That's the way it is. That is the truth. Nothing less. And the good that stands over against that evil, the good that removes that evil, the good And that causes the evil to be subservient to the good. Is principally Christ. Christ is the only good. With Christ, we have all the good. With Christ, we have the principle of good that removes the evil. With Christ, we have the principle of good that makes the evil subservient to itself. Christ. You say Christ, and you have all. Say anything else, you have nothing. You may have all the opportunities and all the goods in the world, and in a way, all the natural happiness of the world, but beloved, without Christ, you have nothing. Nothing. And therefore, the Catechism speaks of Christ. And speaks of Christ in the most beautiful way. Listen, that I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. That's beautiful. I am not my own, the Catechism says. Not my own. I do not belong to myself. Oh, no. I, in a way, can say, I'm not responsible for myself. I'm not. Not responsible. But, on the contrary, I belong to a Savior. And that Savior is faithful. And as a faithful Savior, he has already removed the guilt of sin on the accursed tree. That's what the Catechism says. Who with his precious blood hath fully satisfied for all my sins. That first of all. And therefore, when I say I am not my own, for if I am my own, I must satisfy for my sin personally, but I'm not. I don't belong to myself. I'm not personally responsible. I'm not responsible for my sin. I'm not. Oh, for if I'm responsible for my sin, I must pay to the full, and I don't have to. I belong not to myself, but I belong to my faithful Savior. That's all that is necessary. With body and soul, with life and death, I do not belong to myself, but I belong to Him. And He has done it all. He paid the debt on the accursed tree. It's gone. He delivered me from all the power of the world and of the devil. Completely. He gives me everlasting life and glory, and that too in the way of sin and death, so that even at the depth of the way of sin and death must be conducive to the everlasting glory and everlasting life. That's right. Shall we say that once, beloved? No, I first want to say something else. A question must be asked, how come? How come that I belong to Jesus? How come? A very wrong and very superficial answer is that given by all Arminians, beloved. I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, because I have accepted Him. There's no comfort in that. There's no comfort in it, beloved, because that all depends on me. Oh no. According to Scripture, the question, how come that I belong to Jesus Christ, my faithful Savior, is this, principally, because God has given me to Him. That's the answer. Yeah, that's a complete answer. You don't have to add anything to that, beloved. I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath fully satisfied for all my sins and who hath completely delivered me from all the power of the world and of the devil, and who causes all things to work together unto my salvation, because I am given to Him by the Father. That's all. Oh, I know you can go on. And from that eternal decree of God, by which I am given to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, continue and say many more things. That's all right. But listen, you can never add anything to it, beloved. You can never add anything to that. Not add to it. You can analyze it and dissolve it into all kinds of spiritual blessings, but it all is principally expressed in that one thing. I am given to Him by the Father. That's why I belong to Him. Sure is. Oh, I know. You say we must be regenerated. Oh, yeah, that's all because I'm given to Him by the Father. Because I belong to him, because by the decree of God I am given to him by the Father, therefore I must also be regenerated. Is that the reason? I must also have faith. Oh, yes, no question of it. I must believe, no question of it. But if I am given to him by the Father will take care that I receive the faith and that I really believe in him, so that also consciously I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah. That's what it is. That's the way we are the property of our faithful Savior. And that's the way I can say, beloved, that I am no longer responsible for myself. My Savior, Jesus Christ, is responsible for me in life and in death. I'm no longer responsible for my sin and for my guilt and for my corruption. My faithful Savior, who died on the cross and rose the third day, is responsible for me and all these things. Oh, don't say that's dangerous, beloved. That's not dangerous. That is simply the truth. Don't say if you preach that way, the result will be that your people, your congregation will say, well, then I walk in sin and nobody is to blame. Oh, that's nonsense. Don't you see that? If I say I'm not responsible for myself, but Jesus Christ is responsible for me, if I say that I belong to him with body and soul in life and death, beloved, he will take care that through the grace of the Holy Spirit, I do not walk in sin deliberately. That's all. He's responsible for that too. I belong to him. I'm united with him. He's responsible also for the fact that I must walk in the midst of the world believing and pleasing to my faithful Savior. Belongs to it. So don't philosophize. This is not philosophy. This is really the principle of salvation, beloved. That you and I can say, indeed, I do not belong to myself. I am not my own. I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, and that faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, is responsible for me in life and death, now and to all eternity. That's comfort. That's really comfort. Well, I must go on. But the brief question must be asked nevertheless. How is that obtained? The Catechism evidently speaks of this only an all-comprehensive comfort as a firm assurance. How do I come to that assurance, beloved? How can I say I am sure that I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. How is it possible? And the answer is twofold. Are we? First of all, because of the Scriptures. The Word of God. That's first. And the Word of God throughout. I find the teaching of this only comfort in life and death throughout. And the Word of God I find throughout. The revelation of my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. In the Word of God, yes. In the Word of God, I also find, beloved, that I belong to Him. Oh, I know the Word of God doesn't say to you and to me with the mention of the natural name, as some would like to have it, really, Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, John and Pete and Herman, and you all belong to the faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Some would like to have it that way, but that would be very disastrous, beloved. But the Word of God says this. You know that you are a sinner. You know that you like to be delivered from sin, delivered from guilt and iniquity. You know that. You know that you are sorry for your sins and that you confess your sins before God and Christ, you know that? Then the Word of God says, you belong to Him. Without anything else. That you can say so, that you can confess this, that you can confess that you're a sinner, means that you belong to Him. That's in this Bible. Oh, yeah. That's in the Bible. And that's why we have the preaching of the Bible. For no other reason. Principally. But there is more, beloved. Because otherwise, the first would not be true. The second element in the question as to how I obtain this only comfort in life and death is the Spirit. The Spirit. And the Spirit testifies, beloved, in the Bible, that the Bible is the truth. That first of all. And the Spirit testifies to the church that the Bible is the truth. And the Spirit testifies that I belong to Christ according to the Scriptures. He assures me by His Holy Spirit that I belong to Him. That's all we need. Oh, I know you sometimes doubt. You doubt. You probably are in fear sometimes. And you probably I wonder whether you were a child of God and so on and so forth, but if you apply these principles to your own heart and mind, what is your answer? Do you believe that the Word of God is the revelation of this comfort in life and in death? Do you believe that that Word of God is the truth? You do? Do you believe that you are a sinner, born in sin and iniquity? You believe that? Do you believe that your faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, is responsible for you, and that you are not your own? Then you have the only comfort in life and in death, beloved. No question of it. And then I must close, but just a few words. Then you have also the result, the fruit, let me rather say, the fruit. And in brief, that fruit is, beloved, that even as I belong to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ, so I delight in his service. Oh, with many stumblings and many falls, but I can say that I delight in the precepts of my faithful Savior Jesus Christ. And that I keep his commandments, and that therefore, keeping his commandments, I walk in the way of light, fighting the good fight of faith, even to the end. And then we can continue the Heidelberg Catechism, beloved, according to the second question, which, according to the second question, divides the whole truth in the knowledge of sin and misery, or rather, the personal knowledge. How great my sins and miseries are. Second, that I am redeemed and delivered from all my sins and miseries. And third, that I walk in gratitude before my faithful Savior Jesus Christ. Shall we continue, beloved? Don't have itching ears, have you? Hope not. Hope not. Because if you continue with me and Reverend Hankel and the instruction of the Heidelberg Catechism, you will undoubtedly grow in the knowledge and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We thank thee, O Lord, for all thy grace and loving kindness and truth and faithfulness and love which thou hast revealed in our faithful Savior Jesus Christ. Strengthen our faith in him by the grace of thy Spirit, and even through the preaching of thy word in this morning hour. Amen.